Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI says every Christian knows that he must do all he can, but that the final results depend on God. From Rio de Janeiro, the Secretary General of the International Alliance of Catholic Development Agencies speaks of the Church's important contribution in an event such as the UN Summit on Sustainable Development. Peter Malone shares his impressions of a French film that he says is really about goodness. Pope Benedict XVI on Sunday reflected on the parables of Christ in the day's Gospel. He said that the parable of the seed that grows while the farmer sleeps refers to the mystery of creation and redemption, the fruitful work of God in history. And he told the faithful that every Christian knows that he must do all he can, but that the final results depend on God. Pope Benedict also noted the upcoming World Refugee Day and called attention to the predicament of so many who are forced to flee their countries because of conflict and violence. And as Chris Wells reports, Pope Benedict also mentioned the just-ended International Eucharistic Congress in Dublin.
During his weekly Angelus address, Pope Benedict spoke about the parables of Christ in Sunday's Gospel.
Cari fratelli e sorelle,
the parable of the seed that grows while the farmer sleeps refers to the mystery of creation and redemption, the fruitful work of God in history. In this parable, the Pope said, the final harvest reminds us of the full realization of God's kingdom at the end of time. The present time is the time of sowing, he said, and the Lord ensures the growth of the seed. Every Christian knows that he must do all he can, but that the final results depend upon God. This knowledge sustains him in his daily labors, especially in difficult situations. In his remarks to English-speaking pilgrims, the Holy Father highlighted the Lord's second parable, that of the mustard seed.
In today's Gospels, the Lord teaches us that God's kingdom is like a tiny mustard seed which becomes the largest of shrubs. Let us fervently pray that God may take our weak but sincere desires and transform them into great works of love for him and our neighbor.
After leading the crowds in the recitation of the Angelus Prayer, Pope Benedict noted the upcoming UN-sponsored World Refugee Day taking place Wednesday, June 20th. The day is dedicated to calling attention to all refugees, especially those facing threat of armed conflicts. The Pope also spoke about the International Eucharistic Congress concluding in Dublin, Ireland. Reflecting on the presence of Christ in the sacrament of the altar, he said, in the mystery of the Eucharist, Jesus desires to stay with us and for us to enter into communion with him and into communion among ourselves. Finally, the Holy Father greeted pilgrims and visitors from around the world in various languages, wishing them a happy Sunday and leaving them with his blessing.
Upon each of you and your loved ones, I invoke God's abundant blessings.
Thanks there to Chris Wells for that report. A mass was held on Sunday in Rio de Janeiro to welcome participants to the Rio Plus 20 UN Summit on Sustainable Development and to the Rio Plus 20 People's Forum for Social and Environmental Justice. Celebrating the Mass was the Archbishop of Rio de Janeiro, Monsignor Orani Joao Tempesta, together with other bishops, including Archbishop Francis Chulicat, permanent observer of the Holy See at the United Nations. The People's Forum, from the 15th to the 23rd of June, runs parallel and overlaps the Rio Plus 20 United Nations Summit to be held on Wednesday and Thursday. It sees the participation of over 50,000 people representing civil society and faith-based groups. There are environmental activists, indigenous peoples, aid organizations, development agencies, and religious communities, all coming together to identify solutions to the multiple and rising crises we face as humans on planet Earth. Present at the People's Forum and a co-signatory of a joint statement signed by over 50 church and civil society leaders, urging world leaders to plot a new path to a just and sustainable world, is Bernd Nilles, Secretary General of CIDSE, the International Alliance of Catholic Development Agencies, that has member organizations in 16 countries and that works with partner organizations all over the world. I spoke to Bernd Nilles about issues at stake and what's going on in Rio. But first he expressed his belief that the Church has a huge contribution to make in an event such as this.
The Church is a very important actor in the question of sustainable development. Sustainable development is complex because it is about economic questions, social questions, and environmental questions together. And politicians find it very hard to find the appropriate answers to today's crises, the financial crisis, economic crisis, the climate crisis, the food crisis with more than 1 billion people starving, and so on. So it's a very complex situation. But the Church, with its Catholic social teaching, has a lot to offer, principles we could follow to find a way out of the crisis. And yesterday, I found it very impressive in the Mass, celebrated by Bishop Urani and co-celebrated also by the Holy See representative and many others, that the human rights question was a very important one. So it's all, at the end of the day, also about the rights of people. If we meet the rights of people, we also reach the objectives on sustainable development.
So you're talking about environmental justice.
Environmental justice is a term which is also for us a more and more important one. We also talk about climate justice and environmental justice. We use this term because there are many different countries in the world in a very different economic situation and social situation. So that means, and here's a term in the negotiations, it's a so-called common but differentiated responsibilities. It is, at the end of the day, about that there are countries like the old big economies, USA, Canada, Europe, Japan, etc., have created with their carbon-driven, with their oil, gas-driven economies, have created major problems. We have created climate change, but we also have created major damage to the nature because of our, let's call it, hunger for natural resources, for industry. So there is a justice needed in the sense that those who created the largest, the biggest problems have the highest responsibility. But at the same time, we all know that the emerging countries, without the emerging countries, we cannot anymore solve the problem because they are growing and they are going, unfortunately, in the same direction currently like we did in the last decades. So there's a kind of struggle on the responsibilities. But the poor countries, the group of the poor countries and the poor communities in the world, they need justice. We need to look from their perspective. They are suffering. We, the consumers, we in the North, we are still in a relatively comfortable situation if you compare to those who are suffering from the impacts in we have created.
Now, I understand that you have released a joint statement, church leaders and other figures such as yourself. Will this statement be read by UN representatives and world leaders at the summit?
Yes, definitely, for different reasons. One is very simple. Our statement was yesterday, the full day, on the main website of the Rio Plus 20 summit. We were quite proud of that. Secondly, the statement presented in the press conference has, of course, media coverage, and we were quite proud that the Deputy Secretary General Delta from the United Nations came to our press conference to listen to us. So that was also very, very important. Further, we're going to have this week meetings with different governments. So we meet, for example, the European Commission. We're going to meet Canada, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, many other countries, we meet and we hand over our statement and explain to them our key demands, so that we hope that we have at the end of the day some of our language, of our calls reflected in the outcomes of the summit.
I have read that a draft negotiating text has already been issued by the Brazilian host government. Basically, much that has been asked by developing countries in terms of principles have been agreed on, but no agreements to firm pledges. It sounds as though it's not ambitious enough. Have you seen this text?
I saw part of the text. You know, it's a quite long text. It had been even longer. There was, of course, a difficult situation on Friday evening that the negotiators, after long months of negotiations, could not agree on the text. So Brazil took over the weekend and presented a compromise. The problem with the compromise text is that the text is far too weak. As you perfectly said, the text has a major lack on concrete measures, goals, and is not reflecting the accountability we need from governments in the future. So I think now we have a little bit more time to get until the head of state arrives on Wednesday, time to make the language stronger, for example, regarding the upgrading of the United Nations Environmental Program, but also what is very important for us to have strong language on the Sustainable Development Goals, because we need, at the end of the day, we need here a concrete framework, a roadmap that is strong enough formulated so that governments enter a path towards a more sustainable world. If the language is too weak, governments will continue as they did in the past. I'll give you one example why it is so hard for the governments to agree on the text. The text is, for example, there's also an ambition to include language on subsidies. Subsidies go still, even in the climate chaos we have already today, they still go heavily into carbon, oil, gas, as well as into nuclear energy. So here in Rio is also at stake if governments in the future are willing to support those sectors who serve the people and the environment, like, for example, the question of renewable energy and other issues. So it's also about big money and major changes our societies and our economies need to start now.
It's about big money and the power of the great economies. But what are your hopes for this summit, concretely, let's say?
One hope will definitely be met. There's not only the official summit, there's also a major alternative summit here in Rio de Janeiro, the so-called People's Forum. Tens of thousands of people from all over the world come together here in Rio de Janeiro to discuss and to describe the changes they want to see to reach the future we want. For us, we are organizing as CITSE several events, and this morning we have a major event where we expect about 500 people to discuss the kind of new development paradigm we need. I give you here also an example. What is more the issue of the alternative summit than actually of the official summit is that we all believe that our governments are guided by the wrong indicators. They look all the time at GDP growth, the gross domestic product, so by economic growth. That's their paradigm. And if they have good growth rates, they are happy and they tell it their voters, their people at home. But that's the wrong paradigm. We need new indicators. We need to see if our inequalities are reduced in our countries. We need to see if people can flourish, participate, if the environment is sound. So we hope that also this discussion on the Sustainable Development Goals can enter and can create a kind of new debate on what actually matters. What do we really want to measure and to demonstrate that we are on a good path ahead? And this is a strong message that comes from the Alternative Summit.
Tell me, what is the atmosphere there? Are people eager? Are they happy? Are they enthusiastic?
People are definitely not enthusiastic. The People's Summit is organized in a wonderful, rich, and actually perfect way. The Brazilian civil society can be really proud of this space they have created for so many people from all over the places. So we find perfect conditions. Also, you can imagine the language issue to discuss with people from all over the places. So even interpretation is guaranteed to facilitate the communication also at the Alternative Summit. The spirit is more a mix of, people are also angry and they are very much talking about the urgency. One of the major concerns of people is we have so many difficulties out there. People are so much suffering every day from hunger, from climate change, from exclusion, from violence, and the governments are not meeting yet this urgency. Whatever will be the outcome of Rio, even if it's a relatively positive outcome, it won't meet the urgency. So the People's Summit, one of the big messages of the People's Summit is we as a people have to act. We as a people have to change our way of life, our lifestyle, our consumption. We have to give a good example. We cannot wait for the government. We need strong governmental decisions, but we cannot wait for them. We, the people, have to act first, and that will then also create a dynamic that governments can enter a new way of decision-making.
Tell me, are there people representatives from developing countries present at the summit, or are there groups such as Franciscans and your own that give voice to these people?
No, this is a big difference from maybe from other international summits. Here, the world is really together. It's definitely a majority of people. The majority of people is coming from poor countries, from developing countries. Of course, there are many, many people from all over Brazil and Latin America here, but also many, many Africans you can see, and also Asians. I'm really impressed. And this is so important that we dialogue on the question on the future we want, to go home with new ideas and also with messages to our governments that are based on not only, let's say, the Irish or only the Congolese perspective, that we can go home and tell our governments that we are coming with a perspective that is shared across the world. And that is a strong symbolic element. We as the churches here in Rio play also a role. So Catholics, the churches, but also the lay organizations like we are, the Catholic organizations, we create space for debate, but we also had, like yesterday, we had the Mass. Yesterday evening, we had the interreligious vigil. We create space for reflection, for prayer. And this combination is, I think, a very strong feeling, because it links the political questions also to moral issues and to beliefs and values of people.
One last thing, Bernd. How important is Pope Benedict XVI's stance in all this? He has sent first words of encouragement to the summit, but he has very much voiced his concern for the creation and for the poor in these years. How important is his voice?
His voice is, for many, many people, very, very important. It's hard for me to measure or to indicate how important it is for the governments, but I can assure that the Holy See's message had been also yesterday at our press conference, and the people, the Holy See delegation, is, of course, here on behalf of the Holy Father, that these messages are very well received. And the Holy Father has a very important message. He is telling the government and all the people that we cannot solve the crisis we have if we look at every issue in an isolated way. If we, for example, would talk in Rio only about the environment, we need to link the environmental question with the social questions. We need to orient our political action on human well-being, on the potentials which are in the human beings, and actually false political environments, false economic decisions hinder people to develop, hinder people to flourish. And I think here the church is very important that governments do not forget about the social dimension.
That was Bernd Nilles, Secretary General of CIDSE, the International Alliance of Catholic Development Agencies. now, Vatican Radio's film critic, Peter Malone, talks to me about a film that in this moment of recession, during which many people are losing their jobs, cuts close to the bone. The English translation of the film's title is The Snows of Kilimanjaro. It's a French film, directed by Robert Guédiguian, and as Peter told me, it's really a film about goodness, and that's not an easy accomplishment.
Les neiges du Kilimanjaro.
What I perceived as a very intense film, a very topical film, very powerful, especially maybe for a European audience at this time. It's The Snows of Kilimanjaro.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that because I'm not sure how wide a release it has. In France, it would be well known. Has it screened in Italy?
It has, in Italian.
In Italian, dubbed. It was here for the annual French Film Festival, and I was given a couple of DVDs for previewing, and it was one of them. And I really was delighted to see it. And an interesting postscript, we have a Cygnus jury at the DC Fest in Washington, D.C. in America, and our organizer sends me a list of films that are screening, because Cygnus, you're not allowed to give a film two awards. We keep spreading them out. And suddenly I see The Snows of Kilimanjaro on the list. So I mentioned that I'd seen it. It hadn't got a prize, but I was very moved by it. And I'm delighted to say they did give it the Cygnus Award in Washington. So that's just a bit of a push for it as well.
Well, at the beginning of your review, you say it's a film about goodness, not an easy accomplishment.
That's right. It's very hard, isn't it, to create characters who are good. But this is a film by Robert Guédiguian, who's made films for a quarter of a century, often with his friends and especially with his wife, Ariane Ascaride. They live in Marseille, and almost all the stories are set there. Although he did make a film a couple of years ago called The Army of Crime about the French resistance and an Armenian national who was in France and a leader in the resistance. Guédiguian himself, as you can tell by the end of his name, is of Armenian descent as well. But most of the films are set in the city of Marseille, as is this one, on the waterfront. The central character has been a union leader. There are retrenchments. He puts his own name in the lottery and it comes out.
Louis Toledano, Roger Barbaro, Omar Zemmoun.
And he then retires, much to his friend's irritation because he was a good man.
C'était pas cliché en tant que représentant syndical, rien ne t'obligeait à être sur la liste.
Ça aurait été un privilège et je n'en veux pas.
But his wife is also a good woman and they're celebrating 30 years of marriage.
Mais qu'est-ce que c'est encore faire?
Au fond du coffre.
Vous avez un guide pour tous les deux pendant une semaine.
Dans le pays des Maasai.
C'est au pied du Kilimanjaro.
And then they are robbed.
Bougez pas, fermez vos gueules, assis toi. Des gens comme vous, ça doit avoir des cartes de crédit, non? Le code, vite! Le code! Il est où le pognon?
And the drama is, how do they handle the situation with the robbery when they discover who it was, the situation in which he lived, and especially then his younger brother and sister. And husband and wife handle the situation beautifully in terms of goodness and kindness and understanding. But it's all played dramatically, credibly. So I hope that makes it sound good.
Mais je m'en fous qu'il soit puni ou non. Moi, ce que je veux, c'est comprendre. Je pourrais aller mieux quand je saurais ce qui s'est passé.
Là-bas, dans le lointain.
Raoul!
Les neiges du Kilimanjaro.
Well, you end your review saying that the picture of kindness in human nature is in fact positive and hopeful.
It is. That people can behave even in difficult circumstances. Not that the central character is perfect, and his reaction, especially after the robbery and the way they've been treated, he and his wife and his friend and the friend's wife are tied up and humiliated, and the feelings of vengeance, but they don't prevail. And I think that that's one of the positive sides of this particular film.
I can see why Cygnus picked it out for an award.
Yes, it's the kind of dramatising of positive human values that I think we really do appreciate. But with Gadigian, he's very popular in France, so it's a mainstream French film, which I hope would travel, as some of his other films have. But if it doesn't, then I hope that it's available, you know, television release and DVD, because it's, I think it's a beautiful film.
Il est pas à la retraite, il est au chômage.
Enfin, il va encore trouver de boulot là, maman.
Mais qu'est-ce que t'en sais?
Ça va, faut arrêter de se voiler la face.
That's all from the English feature program today, and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back at the same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English program. Laudetur Jesus Christus.